Today is the 24th day of July. Hi. Welcome to the Daily Audio Bible. I'm Brian. Welcome back. Here we are around the global campfire together, gathering for another one of the 365 days that we get to gather in a year. Grateful to be here with you today. Grateful to take the next step forward on the grand voyage that we are on. Navigating through the entire Bible as we navigate through a year of life together. So I am grateful to be here with you today. I'm ready, so let's go. We are in the book of 2 Chronicles right now. We've kind of moved through King Solomon's reign. And we are now kind of moving into the divided kingdom. And again, this can seem like review because we've read some of these, we've read these stories as we went through 1st and 2nd Kings. As we go through them again, we're kind of looking back on them from in the future. 2nd Chronicles 11, 12, and 13 today. When King Rehoboam arrived in Jerusalem, he called together 180,000 of the best soldiers from the tribes of Benjamin and Judah. He intended to go to war and restore his control over the northern tribes of Israel. But the Lord told the prophet Shemaiah to give this message to King Rehoboam and to all the people of the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Do not attack your own relatives. Go home, all of you. What has happened is my will. They obeyed the Lord's command and did not go to fight Jeroboam. Rehoboam remained in Jerusalem and had fortifications built for the following cities of Judah and Benjamin: Bethlehem, Etam, Tekoa, Bethzur, Soko, Adullam, Gath, Mareshah, Ziph, Adoraim, Lachish, Azekah, Zorah, Aijalon, and Hebron. He had them strongly fortified and appointed a commander for each of them. And in each one he placed supplies of food, olive oil, and wine, and also shields and spears. In this way he kept Judah and Benjamin under his control. From all the territory of Israel, priests and Levites came south to Judah. The Levites abandoned their pastures and other land and moved to Judah and Jerusalem because King Jeroboam of Israel and his successors would not let them serve as priests of the Lord. Jeroboam appointed priests of his own to serve at the pagan places of worship and to worship demons and the idols he made in the form of bull calves. From all the tribes of Israel, people who sincerely wanted to worship the Lord, the God of Israel, followed the Levites to Jerusalem so that they could offer sacrifices to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. This strengthened the kingdom of Judah. And for 3 years they supported Rehoboam, son of Solomon, and lived as they had under the rule of King David and King Solomon. Rehoboam married Mahalat, whose father was Jeremoth, son of David, and whose mother was Abihail, the daughter of Eliab and granddaughter of Jesse. They had three sons, Jeush, Shemaiah, and Zaham. Later, he married Maacah, the daughter of Absalom, and they had four sons, Abijah, Attai, Ziza, and Shelomith. In all, Rehoboam had 18 wives and 60 concubines, and he fathered 28 sons and 60 daughters. Of all his wives and concubines, he loved Maacah best, and he favored her son Abijah over all his other children, choosing him as the one to succeed him as king. Rehoboam wisely assigned responsibilities to his sons and stationed them throughout Judah and Benjamin in the fortified cities. He provided generously for them and also secured many wives for them. As soon as Rehoboam had established his authority as king, he and all his people abandoned the law of the Lord. In the fifth year of Rehoboam's reign, their disloyalty to the Lord was punished. King Shishak of Egypt attacked Jerusalem with an army of 1,200 chariots, 60,000 cavalry, and more soldiers than could be counted, including Libyan, Sukkite, and Ethiopian troops. He captured the fortified cities of Judah and advanced as far as Jerusalem. Shemaiah the prophet went to King Rehoboam and the Judean leaders who had gathered in Jerusalem to escape Shishak. He said to them, "This is the Lord's message to you. You have abandoned me. So now I have abandoned you to Shishak." The king and the leaders admitted that they had sinned, and they said, "What the Lord is doing is just." When the Lord saw this, he spoke again to Shemaiah and said to him, "Because they admit their sin, I will not destroy them. But when Shishak attacks, they will barely survive. Jerusalem will not feel the full force of my anger, but Shishak will conquer them, and they will learn the difference between serving me and serving earthly rulers." King Shishak came to Jerusalem and took the treasures from the temple and from the palace. He took everything, including the gold shields that King Solomon had made. To replace them, Rehoboam made bronze shields and entrusted them to the officers responsible for guarding the palace gates. Every time the king went to the temple, the guards carried the shields and then returned them to the guard room. Because he submitted to the Lord, the Lord's anger did not completely destroy him, and things went well for Judah. Rehoboam ruled in Jerusalem and increased his power as king. He was 41 years old when he became king, and he ruled for 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen from all the territory of Israel as the place where he was to be worshipped. Rehoboam's mother was Naamah from the land of Ammon. He did what was evil because he did not try to find the Lord's will. Rehoboam's acts from beginning to end and his family records are found in the history of Shemaiah the prophet and the history of Iddo the prophet. Rehoboam and Jeroboam were constantly at war with each other. Rehoboam died and was buried in the royal tombs in David's city, and his son Abijah succeeded him as king. In the 18th year of the reign of King Jeroboam of Israel, Abijah became king of Judah, and he ruled 3 years in Jerusalem. His mother was Micaiah, daughter of Uriel from the city of Gibeah. War broke out between Abijah and Jeroboam. Abijah raised an army of 400,000 soldiers, and Jeroboam opposed him with an army of 800,000. The armies met in the hill country of Ephraim. King Abijah went up Mount Zemaraim and called out to Jeroboam and the Israelites. "Listen to me," he said. "Don't you know that the Lord, the God of Israel, made an unbreakable covenant with David, giving him and his descendants kingship over Israel forever? Jeroboam, son of Nebat, rebelled against Solomon, his king. Later, he gathered together a group of worthless scoundrels, and they forced their will on Rehoboam, son of Solomon, who was too young and inexperienced to resist them. Now you propose to fight against the royal authority that the Lord gave to David's descendants. You have a huge army, and have with you the gold bull calves that Jeroboam made to be your gods. You drove out the Lord's priests, the descendants of Aaron, and you drove out the Levites. In their place, you appointed priests in the same way that other nations do. Anybody who comes along with a bull or seven sheep can get himself consecrated as a priest of those so-called gods of yours. But we still serve the Lord our God and have not abandoned him. Priests descended from Aaron perform their duties, and Levites assist them. Every morning and every evening they offer him incense and animal sacrifices burned whole. They present the offerings of bread on a table that is ritually clean, and every evening they light the lamps on the gold lampstand. We do what the Lord has commanded, but you have abandoned him. God himself is our leader, and his priests are here with trumpets, ready to blow them and call us to battle against you. People of Israel, don't fight against the Lord, the God of your ancestors. You can't win. Meanwhile, Jeroboam had sent some of his troops to ambush the Judean army from the rear, while the rest faced them from the front. The Judeans looked around and saw that they were surrounded. They cried to the Lord for help, and the priests blew the trumpets. The Judeans gave a loud shout, and led by Abijah, they attacked. God defeated Jeroboam and the Israelite army. The Israelites fled from the Judeans, and God let the Judeans overpower them. Abijah and his army dealt the Israelites a crushing defeat. 500,000 of Israel's best soldiers were killed. And so the people of Judah were victorious over Israel because they relied on the Lord, the God of their ancestors. Abijah pursued Jeroboam's army and occupied some of his cities, Bethel, Jeshanah, and Ephron, and the villages near each of these cities. Jeroboam never regained his power during Abijah's reign. Finally, the Lord struck him down, and he died. Abijah, however, grew more powerful. He had 14 wives and fathered 22 sons and 16 daughters. The rest of the history of Abijah, what he said and what he did, is written in the history of Iddo the prophet. Romans 8, 26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit also comes to help us, weak as we are, for we do not know how we ought to pray. The Spirit himself pleads with God for us in groans that words cannot express. And God, who sees into our hearts, knows what the thought of the Spirit is, because the Spirit pleads with God on behalf of his people and in accordance with his will. We know that in all things, God works for good with those who love him, those whom he has called according to his purpose, those whom God has already chosen, he also set apart to become like his son, so that the son would be the first among many believers. And so, those whom God set apart, he called. And those he called, he put right with himself, and he shared his glory with them. In view of all this, what can we say? If God is for us, who can be against us? Certainly not God, who did not even keep back his own son, but offered him for us all. He gave us his Son. Will he not also freely give us all things? Who will accuse God's chosen people? God himself declares them not guilty. Who then will condemn them? Not Christ Jesus, who died, or rather, who was raised to life and is at the right side of God, pleading with him for us. Who then can separate us from the love of Christ? Can trouble do it? Or hardship? Or persecution? Or hunger? Or poverty? Or danger? Or death? As the scripture says, for your sake, we are in danger of death at all times. We are treated like sheep that are going to be slaughtered. No, in all these things, we have complete victory through him who loved us. For I am certain that nothing can separate us from his love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor other heavenly rulers or powers, neither the present nor the future, neither the world above nor the world below. There is nothing in all creation that will ever be able to separate us from the love of God, which is ours through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Psalm 18, 37 through 50. I pursue my enemies and catch them. I do not stop until I destroy them. I strike them down and they cannot rise. They lie defeated before me. You give me strength for the battle and victory over my enemies. You make my enemies run from me. I destroy those who hate me. They cry for help, but no one saves them. They call to the Lord, but he does not answer. I crush them so that they become like dust, which the wind blows away. I trample on them like mud in the streets. You saved me from a rebellious people and made me ruler over the nations. People I did not know have now become my subjects. Foreigners bow before me. When they hear me, they obey. They lose their courage and come trembling from their fortresses. The Lord lives. Praise my defender. Proclaim the greatness of the God who saves me. He gives me victory over my enemies. He subdues the nations under me and saves me from my foes. O Lord, you give me victory over my enemies and protect me from violent people. And so I praise you among the nations. I sing praises to you. God gives great victories to his king. He shows constant love to the one he has chosen, to David and his descendants forever. Proverbs 19, 27 through 29. My child, when you stop learning, you will soon neglect what you already know. There is no justice where a witness is determined to hurt someone. Wicked people love the taste of evil. A conceited fool is sure to get a beating. All right, so Wow, like some really, really profoundly encouraging things were said in the book of Romans today. So, like we've said, Paul has been kind of laying out a case, laying out this argument to Hebrew people. So this is from a Hebrew context, or into a Hebrew context, to reveal Jesus and his work among the Hebrew people in a way that they can understand. It's also very controversial. It's incredibly enlightening and incredibly encouraging, but it definitely moves against tradition. And so Paul finds himself constantly kind of in the hot seat. But he's been starting to lay out the implications of what he's been arguing throughout the whole letter. And we're looking at some of those implications, and they're pretty profound and breathtaking, and really should like change our entire lives and the way we look at everything and humble us. So Paul is explaining today that Jesus was the firstborn, the first one among many brothers and sisters to come. And this, like the evidence of this, was accomplished through his resurrection, that he was born again into life. So Paul is telling us that Jesus, like the resurrection of Jesus was the beginning of a completely new thing on planet Earth, something that hadn't been seen since the Garden of Eden, since the beginning. And this new thing was union with God and man. So there isn't a separation anymore. That man isn't separated by sin from God. But instead, it can be reborn, like start over, reborn righteous into the family of God, where sin doesn't have a claim to our soul. And we went through this yesterday, the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. So if we believe this and are a disciple, a follower, an apprentice, a believer in Jesus, then that's us. We're reading about us. So becoming aware of these implications, not as a theological concept, not as a metaphor, but as a reality, is good news beyond words. And that's what Paul is saying. What can we say about wonderful things like this? Paul asks. And then he answers, because that's a rhetorical question, and the answer is pretty amazing. If God is for us, then who can ever be against us? Who dares to accuse us when God has chosen us? Paul answers that question. Nobody. God himself has given us righteousness, has made us right with him. So who can condemn us? Nobody. Because Jesus died for us and was raised back to life for us. He's sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand. He's pleading for us. Man, if that's real, then imagine that for a second. Like, apply that to the challenge, to the chaos that we face. Because that reality changes how we look at it, changes everything. Not like magic. Like, it's not going to make the bumpy and choppy waters of life go away. but it completely changes perspective when we embrace what's really going on. Like, the challenges we face, they often lead us into questions about where God might be and what his heart actually is toward us, which often causes us to run away from instead of running to. But that is the opposite move of what we have to do if we actually want union with God. But the reality is, we face things that are just unquestionably difficult and crush us, which has a way of bringing to the surface what we really believe. And often we're asking, can we really actually trust God? Or have we been abandoned? And that has been a struggle. We're reading it from thousands of years ago, but we can read it before that in the lives of the children of Israel. That is a human struggle that is as old as the ages, and it lives within us when we face challenge. And so Paul isn't ignoring that, but man, these words that were spoken today, if we believe these words, they do change everything. Paul says, can anything ever separate us from the love of Jesus? Like, does it mean he doesn't love us if we face trial or trouble or opposition or chaos or calamity or pain or suffering, or if we're persecuted, or if we're hungry, or if we're destitute, or if we're in danger, or if we're threatened with death? No, Paul says no. Victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And Paul says, I'm convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Not death, not life, not angels, not demons, not fear, not worry. No dark power can separate us from the love of God. Nothing in the sky, nothing in the earth, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Jesus, who is our Lord. So there's nothing ambiguous. There isn't a bunch of nuance here. It's pretty clear. So we've followed this argument that has been laid out in the letter to the Romans, and now we're standing here looking at the implications. And the implications go beyond the life we used to live and look into the glory of union with Jesus. We're invited forward into that life. But we will have to take a step of faith and believe it's the truth. And once it becomes our truth, we have to live according to that truth. God is not going to abandon us, ever, period. I haven't always felt that way. I can still not feel that way. But we're reading this out of the scriptures to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves of our reality. God is not going to abandon us. He is present, no matter what it feels like, and we can reach for him instead of reaching for someone else or some other comfort, something else to fill the void, we can reach where we are supposed to reach, because we're part of this new thing happening on Earth. The rebirth of the family of God. God loves us. God is absolutely committed to our lives. That is throughout everything about the Bible. I mean, if God isn't in the Bible, what do we have? But if people aren't in the Bible, what do we have? This is God and us. But from the very beginning, we can see that God isn't forcing himself on anybody. That's not how love works. We have to choose and trust and commit and be loyal and faithful as we would in any other relationship. But the implications are profound. And so may we contemplate, step into it, and never look back, never reach where we shouldn't, because we know where to reach. And so, Father, we invite you into that. Like everything else, we get it, and we can feel it, and it sounds really perfectly right until we actually have to do it. And we have to do it when things feel terribly wrong and we're hurting somehow, and it feels like reaching for you is the wrong reach, because you might not be trustworthy, as if reaching anywhere else is going to be more trustworthy or is actually going to fill us with anything but emptiness. And so we reach for you. Where else can we go? What else is there to trust? And so, Holy Spirit, come. Lead us into all truth. Lead us deeper into this reality as we trust it and live into it and make it our truth. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. DailyAudioBible.com and the Daily Audio Bible app are home base, and they are how to get connected, stay connected, be connected to the journey that we are on. So if you haven't in a while, or if you never have, get connected, stay connected, check it out, see what's going on around here. Check out the Daily Audio Bible shop. There are resources there for this journey that we are on. Everything from like Wind Farm Coffee, that's been a part of our story for, I mean, we're in our 20th year. I would say coffee is 17 of those years. Coffee pairs well with the scriptures, especially if we start our day this way, and I do. So I've got my coffee right here to my right, like I always do. Sometimes it's to my left, but mostly it's to my right, because don't want to accidentally knock it over. So if I kind of have a habit of knowing where it is, even though it's in my, today it's in my cream Global Campfire Clean Canteen. I've been using my 20th anniversary Marigold Clean Canteen, which I love very much, but I had to wash it. So I've got my cream Global Campfire Canteen to my right. Full of Wind Farm Coffee that I drink every day. And if you are a coffee or tea drinker, we source and roast and send directly to you what we drink every day. Man, thank you for your partnership. Even in that, every little bit helps. There are other resources in the shop to take the journey deeper, different writings that I've done to take deep dives into things. Reframe from the God we've made to God with us. Sneezing Jesus, how God redeems our humanity. The God of your story, which is the rhythm of the daily audio Bible that we follow every day. I mean, every day, every year, we're moving through life. So the Bible is this alive thing that's very dynamic and speaks to us where we are. And so that's always continually changing. But the God of your story is definitely a path that we take. And so puts it all in kind of written form. I remember writing that, thinking it was going to be easy, and it was one of the most hard, difficult things to bring what we speak about into written form and make it a daily rhythm, just like what we do here. But that's what the God of your story is. Those are all available in the Daily Audio Bible shop. If you want to partner with the Daily Audio Bible, you can do that at dailyaudiobible.com. There is a link on the homepage. If you're using the app, you can press the Give button in the upper right-hand corner. Or the mailing address is P.O. Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. And, of course, if you have a prayer request or encouragement, hit the hotline button in the app, no matter where you are in the world. Or, if you prefer to dial and rock it a little old school, and I like to do that. I mean, I have to do that. So if you have to do that, there are a number of numbers to dial. Depending on where you are in the world, in the Americas, 877-942-4253 is the number to call. If you are in the UK or Europe, 44-2036-088078 is the number. And if you are in Australia or that part of the world, 61-388-2054-59 is the number to call. And that is it for today. I am Brian, and I love you, and I will be waiting for you here tomorrow.
Hi, I am a longtime listener of the Daily Audio Bible, and I just wanted to say thank you to all of those that pray, that are fervently praying around the world. But right now, I really need some prayer for my son, Joshua. He's 28. He is suffering from depression and anxiety. He's lost his job. His car is blown up. He lost his girlfriend. And I'm terrified watching him, and I don't know what to do but to pray. And I need some people around me to pray. I don't know what else to do. I want to be able to help him. He's been denied for insurance, so we're not able to get him to the doctor for medication. And I just need some dabbers to come alongside me and pray for my 28-year-old son. Thank you.
Trent, this is God's Life Speaker. I heard you on the June 21st podcast, and I do remember praying for your daughter who could not get pregnant for 10 years, and now you have little baby Michael. Congratulations as a grandpa. Lord, would you fill this new son of yours born here on earth after much prayer, that he would just walk in your way, that he would know you, that he would glorify you and be a witness for you. Would you give him favor all the days of his life? And may he have length of days and years of life and peace be added to him. And we pray for his life, for his parents, and his grandpa and grandma. Thank you, Lord, for this praise report. May you continue to be magnified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Hey, Dab family. This is Stephen from Idaho. I'm calling in. I've been a listener since the first of this year, and I've enjoyed listening to both Brian and Jill's side of the DAB podcasts. Calling in because I would cover your guys' prayers for my dad. Just found out he's going to have to go to urgent care for symptoms of nearly passing out. And he's had heart issues his whole life. His whole family has been plagued with heart disease, and it's in these last few years, it's kind of caught up with him. He had a stroke in back in 2020, and so he's been recovering from that, but he's been becoming more and more sensitive to the weather, you know, the last couple of years here, and so his blood pressure gets higher, and, you know, all this, he also has AFib and aphasia that kicks in every now and again. So, anyways, yeah, if you guys could pray for him, pray that God would extend his hand of mercy upon him, and that he would be gracious and heal him and restore his health, because God is a great physician. This much I know, after, you know, what I've been going through the last couple of years and what my dad's gone through. So, and the miracles I've seen that happen all around, left and right, it's more than you'd think. So anyways, with that all said, I appreciate you guys' prayers, and God bless.
Hey, Junk to Treasure, your prayer on July 19th was so powerful for the men and the women that have been incarcerated. But sister, I took that prayer on for all of us that have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Every one of us could fall under that prayer of restoration and forgiveness by our Almighty God. Thank you, sister, for listening to the Holy Spirit and formulating that prayer. For those that didn't hear it, go back and listen to it and claim it for yourself. Oh God, thank you for Junk to Treasure. Thank you for each and every person that is on this prayer line believing what they're receiving from you to put out to the dabbers. Oh God, for who all that will receive your grace and your mercy, let it be so today, oh God. I thank you, Father, for this prayer. I thank you for what you can only accomplish through the hearts. And I see, God, that as we are praying and the prayers come across as relevant or moving or meaningful, that we're praying your heart, oh God. Thank you, God. Thank you that your Holy Spirit is real. Thank you that you are with us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. We praise you, mighty God. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Taken with love from Louisiana. God bless y'all. Bye-bye.